This is the Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director for the Taxpayers Federation. My good friend, Franco, he's in Ottawa. He's our federal director. Franco, you are holding down the fort in so many ways, but there was recently this volley that we had to pay attention to, and that is the home equity tax. So we at the Taxpayers Federation have been yelling, there's smoke, there's probably a fire here when it comes to a potential home equity tax for years. And just recently, we saw the Prime Minister sitting down and chit-chatting on camera with the main guy from the main group that wants a home equity tax in Canada. So there's more smoke. Can you update us? What on earth is going on at this?
Okay, well, for starters, here's what a home equity tax is, right? So we currently don't have one in Canada, and I think a key emphasis on currently, but a home equity tax essentially would tax the proceeds that you get when you sell your primary residence, which just means your home. Okay, so they would tax the proceeds that you get from the sale of that home. And like that would be so damaging for so many people. Let me just give you a couple examples, okay? So it would really be damaging for people, you know, like that young family who wants to upgrade from a starter home to the family home in the nicer neighborhood. Well, I mean, they would obviously get hit with that tax there with the proceeds that they would get from that sale and that they would want to reinvest in the new home. But you know who would also hurt? I like to think of our parents, our grandparents, people like my mom, right, who worked their entire lives. She finally has a home in beautiful southern Alberta, and she's going to rely on the sale of her home because she doesn't have a fat government taxpayer-funded pension. So she would rely on the sale of her home to fund her golden years, as so many other people in Canada would. And, you know, I really truly mean this when I say a home equity tax could cost people tens of thousands of dollars, right? So we did some of the math here. And just as an illustration, let's say you bought a home in Toronto in the 1980s for like 250K. Then you sell it today for a little over $1 million. Okay, well, a home equity tax could cost you anywhere between about $50,000 all the way up to $190,000, depending on how that home equity tax would be calculated. So this is a very damaging tax. It would hurt so many Canadians who truly rely on the sale of their home to fund their golden years. Now, the reason we are sounding the alarm here is because a home equity tax is the bad idea that the Trudeau government just can't quit, okay? And the reason we say this recently is because Trudeau was hosted for a private town hall with this group, Generation Squeeze, that has been pushing for home taxes, for home equity taxes. The theme of that private town hall that recently went down is generational fairness. Mm-hmm. Generational fairness. Well, Chris, why does that ring a bell? That's the same cloak that the government used, generational fairness, to hammer Canadians with its recent capital gains tax hike. Okay. And when we mention this group, well, that's the same group that the government, you know, the Trudeau government gave spent $450,000 funding and promoting a report that recommended, surprise, surprise, a home equity tax, right? So the Trudeau government took $450,000 of our tax dollars to fund and promote a report that Generation Squeeze was involved in that recommended a home equity tax, or at least a version of it.
Yeah, big time. So lots to go over there again. And I think we need to stress. So this group is based out of UBC, University in Vancouver. Okay. And we've been keeping an eye on what they've been saying now for years. This is the same group. People might remember this quote, and I'm paraphrasing, where they said, you know what, how is it fair, there's that word again, for people who bought their homes in the 80s and are then selling it, making a profit, using it to fund themselves or use their own money however they want to, give it to their families, etc. They were using the language along this line. How is it fair for people to profit so much from the sale of their home when all they've been doing is eating, sleeping, and watching TV? People might remember that line. That was from these same sort of groups, okay? And it's a very similar element of this same study that is recommending what we are calling a home equity tax. So I wanted to get into it a little bit here because we're calling it a home equity tax, but people may not realize fully. The house you own, the only house you own that you live in, your primary residence, is not subject to tax based on the proceeds from it. When you sell it, you make a profit, you don't actually pay a federal tax. That's been the deal here in Canada since the 1970s. If you have a second house, however, like a cottage or a rental property, if you sell that, you do pay a tax. And that is through the framework of capital gains. Okay, this all kind of sounding familiar. They were using the same language when it was coming to the capital gains tax. And I really wanted to zero in on this one, Franco, because I think it's one of the big clues. With the CRA, now you have to tell them, you have to tell the tax man, if you sell your house, the only one you live in, the only one you own, if you sell it, you have to tell them how much you made on it. Now, why is that?
Are they just curious? Is that it? Yeah. Like, well, here's what happened, right? So back in 2016, the federal government made it mandatory to report the sale of your home with the CRA. And here's the question, right? Like, if the tax man ain't taxing it, why does the Trudeau government want to know how much you made from the sale of your home? Like, is Trudeau just curious? You know, maybe I'm a
maybe
little bit more
writing a book.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more skeptical of government than the average person, but I don't know. That's sounding the alarm bells to me here, right? So not only do you have this private town hall with that group, not only has the government spent hundreds of thousands of tax dollars funding and promoting a report that recommended a home equity tax, you also have this mandatory home reporting requirement that the government introduced back in 2016, the Trudeau government. But then you look, you also had the head of Generation Squeeze invited to a cabinet minister's retreat in Charlottetown last summer. Okay, raise some more questions.
No,
and then also too, right? The Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we uncovered documents that showed that staff in the Prime Minister's office met twice with the same head of the Generation Squeeze. And also, too, apparently it included a briefing about a tax policy recommendation. So, look, where there is smoke, there is fire. And even if we just set aside this group for a second and just look at some of the other Trudeau government's actions, like, okay, there isn't a home equity tax here in Canada, but let's look at what's recently happened. You had the capital gains tax increase, okay? It won't impact you when you sell your primary residence, but it will impact you when you sell a cottage, a secondary residence. The Trudeau government has also brought in a so-called anti-flipping home tax. Okay, so if you sell your home quicker than the government says you should, well, you're going to get hammered there. Not only that, the federal government also has an underused housing tax. So if you don't use your homes as much as government bureaucrats think you should, well, you get a tax there as well. But let's also not forget that the federal government is running a $40 billion deficit, a massive deficit. And if the budget that just happened is proof of anything, it's that you have these politicians and bureaucrats who are money hungry and who are flipping over the couch cushions, looking for as much money they can get from you to paper over their massive deficits and pay for the runaway spending. So you know what? There is no home equity tax yet here in Canada, but I think that there's every reason to worry that a home equity tax may be right around the corner from the Trudeau government.
Indeed. Now let's look for ourselves. And dear viewers, dear listeners, trigger warning. This is a clip of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Some of you have been writing to us saying, why are you playing clips of him? Well, we think it's important because he's the Prime Minister. And it's important to keep an eye on what he's doing and saying, because it can lead to, you guessed it, things like a home equity tax. So here he is. This is a clip from a town hall where he was sitting down with the same group that has been really, really pushing for a home equity tax type thing. So listen to this.
How do we, as Gen Xers and those old, how do we talk to an older demographic and say, wow, let us recognize how much we're asking for younger folks? And are there ways for us to reciprocate more, including in the world of politics, to help deliver more of the policy adaptations that can help make hard work pay off for younger folks the way that it did some decades ago?
One of the stats that fascinated me is, you know, there are countries in which home ownership levels are much lower, where people don't put all their retirement eggs into the home equity basket, right? I mean, like the idea that you would have, you'd buy a home, you'd pay off the mortgage, and then you'd watch the value of it skyrocket, and that would be your pension.
That's my story, by the way.
Well, bully for you. I know. But, yeah.
No, I know.
This is it. And we've taken those last, 10, 20 years of massive increase in value of homes as sort of a new normal, as, okay, this is the way the system works, and, it's tough, but it means that we're going to have value in our homes that we can therefore retire on. And I tend to think that if we were a country that did a better job in helping people plan for retirement, in better pensions, so there wouldn't be that massive gap in terms of people who rent throughout their lives. Like, there are lots of cities around the world where people just accept that they're going to rent their entire lives, but they're not feeling they're going to be impoverished in retirement. Well, other people who rent in Canada feel like they have a big piece of a nest egg that's simply not there because they've been renters all their lives. There's a challenge there that I think there are elements of policy solutions, but the big thing is we just have to slow down on the speculation, right? I mean, like, housing prices and value should increase over a lifetime, but you shouldn't be able to flip a home, 8 years later and have it double the price, right? I mean, there's something unsustainable, and it moves housing into an investment vehicle rather than a vehicle for supporting a family and building a community around it. And as soon as it's an investment vehicle, you have people who have money using it as a way of generating more, as opposed to saying, okay, everyone should have an opportunity to do this.
Okay, so lots of words in there. Not quite sure what he's getting at, but I think I heard the term fairness in there, Franco. Where is he going with this? What's your hunch with this?
Yeah, it's really tough to tell, right? Okay, so on the one hand, you have all these reasons to worry that a home equity tax will be right around the corner from the Trudeau government. On the other hand, you have Trudeau and some other of his members of parliament pinky promising, don't worry, folks, there won't be a home equity tax. Don't worry, folks, nothing to see here. Well, you know what? Talk is cheap, especially when it comes from politicians. So if Trudeau really wants Canadians to believe that he isn't coming for our homes, then he has to prove it with his actions. And the number one way for the government, for Trudeau, to prove that he's not going to impose a home equity tax would be to remove that reporting requirement with the CRA. That is the number one thing that the government must do. On the Canadian Taxpayers podcast, we had the official opposition leader, Pierre Poilievre, and Poilievre committed that if he were to form government, if he were to become the next prime minister, that he would do away with that reporting requirement, and Trudeau must do the same.
That would be a big step towards trust, because I think I can speak for myself and probably a lot of our listeners. I have some trust issues when it comes to government. I don't trust them that they're not going to nail people with a home equity tax. All right, this would be a really stupid idea. If they tried doing this, I can't imagine the reaction against it. Do we want to get on to other stupid ideas, like trying to make other countries? Okay, so this one. So Franco and I talk all the time, and he actually had to explain this to me recently because it's such a stupid idea. I didn't quite believe it. So correct me if I'm wrong. So are we spending taxpayers' money, Canadian taxpayers' money, trying to convince other countries to hit their people with a carbon tax? Do I have that right?
Well, we aren't spending that money, Chris. It ain't you and me who are spending that money, but the Trudeau government is. Yeah, the Trudeau government is spending 1.7 million of our tax dollars trying to push carbon taxes on other countries, okay? So during one of these United Nations climate conferences that they'd love to go overseas and build taxpayers a bunch of money for, the government decided to launch what it's calling a global carbon pricing challenge. Mm. Okay, that's bureaucratic gobbledygook for essentially trying to push carbon taxes on other countries, to get other countries to put a carbon tax. So not only are you paying the carbon tax every time you go to the gas pumps, every time you use natural gas to stay warm, every time you go to the grocery store, but it turns out you're also paying through your tax dollars for the Trudeau government to try to get other countries to adopt a carbon tax. Now, if that doesn't sound like a waste of money to you yet, well, it gets even worse. So the government has this goal of getting 60% of global emissions covered by the carbon tax. Well, we decided to go on the Google machine, look at the World Bank, and it turns out only 24% of global emissions are covered by a carbon tax. Not only that, it gets even worse for them because 70% of countries, 70% of countries do not have a national carbon tax. Okay, so let that sink in. Canada, 1.5% of global emissions. Canadians need to stay warm. It's a cold country. Need to drive far. It's a big country. Canada pays a carbon tax when 70% of countries around the world do not have a national carbon tax. Chris, not only that, three of the four world's largest emitting countries, India, Russia, the United States, they do not have a national carbon tax.
Okay, so I'm almost laughing because I'd otherwise cry because this is so stupid. So we have a carbon tax here in Canada. Yep. We actually have two, but we have a carbon tax here in Canada. Takes a ton of money out of people's wallets just for driving and heating their homes and going to work and eating and all that stuff, essential life stuff. We are also paying bureaucrats or whoever to go to a UN meeting and try to push a carbon tax idea onto other countries, which is also bad. But this is what I find funny about it, is that we're failing, right? Like, they're not convincing people. Is that the punchline here?
Well, all you have to do to know that this is to know that this is a complete waste of money and that the Trudeau government has completely failed on its diplomatic efforts to impose carbon taxes around the world, all you have to do is look south of the border, right? The United States does not have a national carbon tax. You know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners, a lot of our audience, including you and I, were suckers for American politics. It's like,
yeah, they're kind of like busy right now, eh?
Yeah. But you know what you'll notice during this presidential election is that both the Republicans and the Democrats do not support a national carbon tax, right? So think about it this way. If you can't even get your largest ally and trading partner, the United States, to impose a carbon tax, then why are you wasting all this money and time trying to get all these other countries to impose a carbon tax? But Chris, like, to the bigger point of this is that this just shows the most fundamental flaw of the carbon tax and of the Trudeau government's rationale for it, right? The Trudeau government likes to say that the carbon tax is about reducing emissions. Well, Canada, 1.5% of global emissions, has a carbon tax, while 70% of countries do not have a national carbon tax, yeah. Right? Like, talk about totally avoiding the big side of the arithmetic here.
Yeah, it is the big side of the arithmetic. And it gets back down to, like, I was BC director for a long time, and they've had two carbon taxes there for a long time. They've had one since 2008. It's really, like, the reason why Canada has a carbon tax, because it started there. And you get down to emissions and stuff like that, man, like, they're almost always going up, like, apart from lockdowns and things getting ground right down and shut down in 2020 and things like that. They're almost always going up. And that's, of course, because, to borrow a phrase from an economist I know, the demand for things like natural gas and gasoline and diesel is inelastic. People need to heat. They need to eat food. They need to drive to work. It's not like picking between paper and plastic grocery bags here. And so that is why, even though they are nuking people with a carbon tax in British Columbia, making life totally unaffordable, generally their emissions keep on going up anyway. And that's because people need to still eat and heat and move around. And so, again, I think this just perfectly exemplifies what a silly idea this is, that we can't even get the Americans to entertain the idea of a carbon tax. Like, throw it out there during the debate. I mean, you're up there for 2 hours. Why not? No. This reminds me of, like, if you're going to a barbecue with your best friends and you're the vegan, you can't convince them to even try your salad. Like, it's not happening.
That's a good one.
Forget it. This reminds me of that. All right. Do we want to get to, there is a little bit of hope on the horizon, folks, when it comes to things like a capital gains tax. Do we want to get into our poll?
Yeah, we do. Okay. So now look, I'm not dumb. I know.
No, he's not. Ken confirmed Franco's a smart dude.
Like, I know Trudeau and the current government in Ottawa, they don't care about the deficit. I get it. They've gone out of their way to prove that they couldn't care about balanced budgets, right? But when they sold, or when they introduced the capital gains tax increase in their last budget, one of the rationales for it were, we need this tax hike so we don't put on more debt to Canadians' kids and grandkids. Now, Set aside the laughable part of that, right? The fact that as of this year, the Trudeau government will have officially doubled the entire federal debt. Just set aside that small little part of it. If the government cares about the deficit, an obvious question is, well, then why are you raising taxes? Why couldn't you have cut spending? Now, we thought that was an interesting question. So we teamed up with a national polling firm to put that question to Canadians. Do you want the government to cut spending or increase the capital gains tax to rein in the deficit? Here are the numbers. 54% of Canadians said cut spending. Only 23% of Canadians said hike capital gains taxes. So by a wide margin of more than 2-1, Canadians wanted spending cuts, not a capital gains tax hike, to reduce the deficit. But it gets worse for Mr. Trudeau. If you remove the undecideds, 70% of Canadians said cut spending, don't hike capital gains taxes to rein in the deficit.
Wow. Okay, I'm just going to highlight what a spectacular comms failure this is for the Trudeau government then. So number one, to be clear, this is a federal poll, right? It's not just our supporters.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, and it's more than 50% said cut spending?
54%.
Wow. Okay, that's actually much higher than I was even expecting, because quite often people lose track of government spending. They know about taxes, they hear about that sort of stuff, but they kind of lose the plot when it comes to spending. But this time they're on it. So this is a federal poll, national poll of general people. More than the majority, more than 50% of people want to cut spending, and they're not keen on increasing the capital gains tax. That's so interesting, because the Trudeau government was banking, so to speak, on this being a tax on the have-yachts, right? A tax on the money banks and, you know, those Daddy Warbucks type people. But I think that they've lost that narrative control. I think people see through them now that all they want to do is hike this tax in order to take more money, in order to waste it. Do you think that's getting through to people?
Yeah, well, look, I actually think this is more about, I think this is even more than just the capital gains tax increase, kind of to your point. Right. And I think what the poll shows, at least in my interpretation of it, is that Canadians are just sick and tired of higher taxes and wasteful spending. And yep, they see the federal government. All they have to do is like pick up a newspaper, go on social media, turn on the TV, listen to the radio. And almost every day, there's like a new example of crazy government waste. Right? Whether that's the National Capital Commission spending $8 million building a barn at Rideau Hall, or the Governor General spending $70,000 on limo services in Iceland during a 4-day trip, or the Trudeau government dropping more than $1 million on 3 affordability retreats, so-called affordability retreats, in 1 year, or the CBC handing out $15 million in taxpayer funded bonuses while crying poor and begging the government for more cash. So like almost every day, there's this new waste story, right? Of the government just blowing our money on things that should not be a priority. Then you look at what's just happening this year, right? Not only a capital gains tax hike, you had payroll tax hikes, carbon tax hike, yeah, alcohol tax hike, a new streaming tax, a new digital service tax. And I think Canadians are just saying, enough is enough. Stop hiking my taxes and stop wasting my money. And I think that's what this poll is really showing here.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just finished chatting on a podcast, another podcast, about $12 million being spent to cull some deer on a salt on an island in BC and to regrow some of the plants there. It's just the mind boggles, right? It's just so much. And that's federal government. So much waste. And I think you're on it. I think people are just tapped out. They can't afford the basics anymore. And they realize that the government is largely the cause of that problem. Do we want to get to our taxpayer pro tip here, where we try to give some sage advice to people? You go first.
I do. And because mine kind of ties into this last conversation. And my taxpayer pro tip goes out specifically to the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, and his cabinet ministers. You made a fundamental miscalculation with your capital gains tax hike. And I think you got to go read this poll, because I think this poll shows that you made a political mistake. So folks, we all know that it wasn't about the deficit, right? We all know the capital gains tax hike wasn't really about the deficit. We also all really know that the capital gains tax hike wasn't about tax fairness, which we hear about, right? Because if it was really about tax fairness, somebody's taxes would be going down. But for most Canadians, taxes are only going up. Okay, so what was the capital gains tax increase really about? Well, the Liberals thought the capital gains tax hike would be a political winner. Mm-hmm. They wanted to use the capital gains tax hike as a political wedge against their primary opponent, which is the Conservatives, right? They thought that they would get some support from Canadians if they impose this capital gains tax hike. And a proof point of that is that they took the capital gains tax increase out of the normal budget bill so that they could force an individual vote on the capital gains tax hike.
That's right.
For all these reasons, I think there is more than enough proof to say that this was all about politics. Well, you made a political miscalculation. And yeah. The reason is that Canadians are just sick and tired and fed up with higher taxes and wasteful spending. So the taxpayer pro tip goes out to Trudeau and his cabinet ministers. Go take a look at this poll, then think about the poll and what it says, and then reverse course. Stop hiking taxes. Stop wasting money.
Amen. I truly hope they listen to you because people are really hurting right now. Speaking of wasting money and how much money this is going to cost, I just finished writing a column on, and there's so much you can write about this, on our electric vehicle mandate. So for people who don't yet know, by 2035, so in 10 years, we won't be able to buy new gasoline or diesel powered vehicles. All of the vehicles that we buy from a car dealership new are going to have to be zero emission, so electric. So that, of course, leads us to questions like, okay, so how much are we spending on this right now? Answer, more than $50 billion so far on corporate welfare, going to various international companies. Franco, you've done amazing work on this so far. But also, my question was, where is the electricity going to come from? And that question came up because a very practical reason. A few days ago, I was given an alert on my phone here in Alberta. Hey, nobody use a toaster or a hairdryer, because we're all going to have a blackout on our electricity grid. Not kidding. They said, stop using your appliances. Everybody hunker down in the dark because we're about to have a blackout because we do not have the power. Okay. We have a shortage of electricity. It also said in that alert, Franco, don't plug in your electric vehicle. So folks, if we are all supposed to have electric vehicles by 2035, where is this energy going to come from? So my taxpayer pro tip pleadingly goes to the bureaucrats and the spin doctors who come up with genius ideas like this electric vehicle mandate. Go do your homework. Grab the calculator, crack open some of those formulas, figure out things like where's the energy going to come from? Because here in Alberta, just for our own number of personal vehicles, we would need around 3 new nuclear power plants. Big ones, not modular ones, normal size nuke power plants, just for our vehicles to be plugged in. So, and that would cost around, spitballing here, $40 to $45 billion. And that's just for Alberta. That's not covering any other province. So I'm urging the folks who are coming up with these lofty ideas of electric cars only in Canada, they're able to purchase, you have to do the grunt work and you have to do the math and ask things like, okay, where's the energy going to come from? Because to your point, Franco, we've got a doubled debt. What we're paying on the debt and interest charges is the equivalent of the GST. Like, it's wild. We have unmoney right now. We cannot afford to do this, and they have no plans to make us be able to afford to do this. So that is my taxpayer pro tip. Don't just come up with ideas. Have the math behind you and figure out how we're going to actually pay for things. Folks, if you want details on any of these things, like the capital gains tax, like the home equity tax, the electric vehicle mandate, head on over to our website, taxpayer.com, read our articles and sign our petitions, because that means that you are now signed up to the Taxpayer Standing Army. And when we next take action on this stuff, that means that you'll be posted. Thanks so much for listening, and go check us out.